about 20 to 11, but you know, with Steve lately, we've kind of been used to that because the preachers have been so awesome. And I mean, that's, I know that sounded a bit sarcastic, but I promise you I mean that. But talking of Steve, he is away at the moment in Dundee. Him and Janet are preaching at Peter's Church in Dundee, one of our relating churches there. So it's really awesome that as a base church, we're able to send our senior pastor up to these various churches to minister the gospel. So he's in Dundee, and just be praying for him. Be praying. In fact, right now, he's probably about to get up and preach. So Lord, we bless Steve. We just declare your power, your anointing to flow as he preaches. Lord, that hearts would be opened, minds would be open to see the gospel as you minister through Steve this morning. We declare protection on him and Janet. We declare supernatural fellowship and relationship as they build into those relationships, and protection upon them as they drive back, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just want to bless Gary. Lord, thank you for this gift that he is. Thank you for the restoration in him and Pauline's life. Lord, we just thank you for this man. He is a gift to the church, and we're just blessed that he came back to this church. So we bless him this morning. We receive him as a gift. We open up our hearts and minds as you preach and minister through him, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, are we on? We're on. It's good to be on the stage for a moment. I'm always with you because I'm in the congregation. It's good to see everybody here. Turn to the person next to you on your left and your right and say to them that they are limitless. Tell them they are limitless. They are limitless. Not unlimited, limitless. You are limitless today. Doesn't matter about our background, where we come from, what our troubles and hardships might have been. Each one of us are limitless today, if we believe. So turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We've got it on the screen. It's coming up in a moment. So Steve last week was preaching on our good works, and we have a plan, and there's a purpose for each one of us in the house of God. So he just asked me if I would carry on with that. So that's what I'm going to be sharing with you guys today. So verse 8, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Salvation is the gift of God. Salvation is not just getting to heaven. There's a whole lot more tied up in salvation. Healing in your physical body, in my physical body, is salvation. Prosperity is salvation. Salvation is not a gift. It is the gift from God. The best that he could come up with for us as his children was salvation. If there was anything better than salvation, he would have given us that gift. But the gift that he had for us, the very best that Father God had for us, was salvation. Everyone needs salvation. Everyone needs salvation. And salvation, as I've said, is not just getting to heaven. That's an important part. But what is the point of just getting to heaven and you've had hell on earth? No sense. And that's exactly what Father God thinks about it. He doesn't want us to get there having endured living on earth. There shouldn't be endurance living on earth. It shouldn't be a struggle living on earth. We shouldn't be born down with sickness all our lives or a large part of our lives. Yes, we live in a fallen world. And yes, those things come after us and come at us. But He's given you and me the gift, the best there is, which is salvation. The only thing we need is salvation. So God, I love the song we just sang. Father, You are good. You are good. Every morning, You tell Dad He is good. He loves to hear his kids say, You are good. I arrived home the other day and my dad said to me, I love you. I felt good. Imagine my father when I say to him, You are good, Dad. You are good. Goodness does not come out of him. He is goodness. It is him. If it wasn't for him, there would be no goodness. Father, You are good. Let's go on. Pull that scripture up again. I want it up there so I don't have to use my glasses. Okay. 9:9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. Say workmanship. Say, I am His workmanship. I am designed by Him. That's what workmanship means. I am designed. I am fashioned. I am sculptured by Him. For such a time as this. If you were meant to have been born before the world wars or part of the Foot Trekkers or part of Dingon and Shah, you would have been born then. His plan and purpose is for you now. Here now. At this place now. So we are His fashioned people. His created people. His limitless people. We'll get to that now. His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Two reasons why we were created, why we were made. One, for good works. And two, for His good pleasure. For His good pleasure. He loves to look upon us, be proud of us. Smile. I have funny ways. So do you, before you laugh. We all have funny ways. Where do you think you got that from? Father God must have funny ways too. Ah, absolutely. We are a chip, with respect, of the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days. The thunder. We are a little smattering of Him. And my funny little ways are hidden in Him somewhere. I am His workmanship. You and I are His workmanship that have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained. He planned. For me as an individual, for you as an individual, He planned those good works before, so that we should walk in them. Before we were born. Before we were thought of. Further earlier in the verse, it talks about we were predestined. That's a whole new subject. We are His workmanship, His sculptured, fashioned, created individuals for good works and for His good pleasure. How do you find what those good works are that He has planned for you and I? I've got three things to share with you. I'm sure there might be hundreds, but I've got three for you. Willingness. Willingness. Are you willing? Are you willing? And here's the thing. You might be willing after Shunda worship, like we just had. But then if you had a week like Terry and I did this week, were you willing during that period of time? Huh? Willingness. Am I willing? Number two. You want to know what good works God has in store for you, what He has planned for you? Ask Him. Simple. Ask. We get nothing these days if you don't ask. The Bible says, you have not because you've asked not. Ask Him. Now, you know what? There's a couple hundred of us here today. We should be able to reach this community of ours on our doorstep in a month or so. If all of us did a good work. Now, we've got to establish what those good works are and get there. But we could reach this community around us, these hundreds of us. We could reach this community in a month and a bit. Now, they may not all give their lives to Jesus at that moment in time, but we can have some impact, some start on their lives. You see, I want to tell you a story. I had a lady, some of you may have heard of her before. She used to work for me many years ago. She's passed on, she's resurrected, gone to heaven. Her name was Annette Winter. She was a wonderful lady. She moved down from Joburg down to Durban at the age of about 60s, late 60s, mid 60s. And because her family were here. And she had worked in some big companies before. And had a bit of a pension tied up there, but she needed to supplement her income, so she needed a job. And she was a quiet lady, real lady. I mean, proper lady. She was quiet, though. She was always at the back. She'd never walk in forward. If you wanted a volunteer, whatever, she would, but not like that. She'd just let you know that she's available. And Annette, one day I spoke with her and I said, Nettie, I need you to do more. Oh, Gary, I can't. Look at me. I'm old. First thing she said. Signe, I'm very embarrassed, Gary. I don't do well in public. I'm a behind the scenes person. I said, Nettie, can I explain a scripture to you? 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 2. I said, yes, what does that say? And that scripture says that the things you've heard that I have taught you, these things commit to faithful men and women, and they will be able to teach it. I said, Nettie, all you've done all these years has been faithful, faithful, faithful. Thank you for that. Now you need to take the next step and you need to start leading a cell group. Oh, Gary, not me. You know, I cannot do, I'm petrified. I said, Nettie, that's what the Bible says. And I found you to be faithful. And so I'm asking you, I need you to step up. She took her cell group. She multiplied her cell group. In other words, it grew to more than 15 people, and then she had to split it. She multiplied it. Nettie, she was 69 at that time, who couldn't do anything but be in the background. Ask God, what good work can I be involved with in this house? If you don't hear from him, and this is serious, if you do not hear from the Lord within the first week, that next week, ask your pastor. There's too many of us that sit, I'm just waiting for God to speak to me. Sweetie, you might be waiting for all your life. Because it's amazing how sometimes we hear the things God says, and the things we don't want to hear, we don't hear. I've been waiting. I haven't heard. I've tried. I've done that. I'm being honest. Absolutely. Go to India. Not a chance. Are you crazy? You know, go mission. No. If you haven't heard, once you've asked the Lord, what good work can I be involved in this house? Then you go and ask your Pastor Steve. Come and ask James. Come and ask the leaders. What can I be involved with? I want to be involved. Why? Because you are his workmanship, created to do good works and for his good pleasure. So we cannot hide in this house. We don't want to. How are we going to reach the community? Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be sent knocking door to door. Not everybody is designed to do that. Generally, the things that you'll get involved with are the things that you have a leaning toward, a motivation. I have never in my entire life ever touched the filthy sin of coffee and tea, ever. I have never consumed such disgusting stuff ever in my life. God spoke to me one day and said, son, for you, I will never allow that in heaven. And I'm so grateful for that. There will be no coffee and tea in heaven. Honestly, I've never had tea and coffee in my life. That's why, for that reason, I have no leaning towards that. My wife had to give up tea and coffee when we met. Because I would not kiss her because that smell is just repulsive. It is. So you won't really find me serving behind the tea and coffee bar. I can't stand the smell of it. I really can't. So I don't hang behind the tea and coffee bar. But that doesn't mean I can't do something else. So generally, the good works that we can get involved with in the house is something that will fit in with you. Because that's how he made you. His workmanship. He didn't make you an introvert to be doing an extrovert thing. He didn't make you an extrovert to be doing an introvert thing. He knew what he was doing when he fashioned us, when he crafted us, when he designed us. He put those little things that we needed inside to tick, to make. He put that within us. Third thing. Be prepared to put in some effort. Doing good works is not going to the beach and surfing all the time. Hey, that is a good work. Especially if you're getting out there to reach. I bought a surfboard once. I'd like to think that I can surf. I haven't surfed for a long time, so I probably haven't forgotten most of it. But I bought a surfboard once to reach a person. And I did. Paddled out, got drilled, nearly drowned, don't know how many times. Leash snapped, had to borrow a sock, go back to the car, get a sock, tie a sock, until I got this guy reached, saved. That's what I did. Never surfed again. Love surfing, though. I generally use my belly on the biggie board. That's what I normally do. I haven't surfed much. Okay, but I bought a surfboard so I could reach a guy. There are so many good works that we can do to have impact in the lives of individuals in this house and in this community. And you know, if we start impacting one another, it's going to rub off. And it's going to start impacting those that are not in the house as yet. And then very soon, within a few months or so, we would have to be looking at extending these walls. If we started doing the good works that God has in store for us. Remember, if you haven't heard from him yet, ask your pastor and you will definitely hear them. Because we have a ton of things that need to get done. Be prepared to put in some effort. Be willing. And remember what the word says. Whatever you set your hands to do, do it with all your might. Not half-hearted. When my son was growing up, and my daughters, you know, but all three of them, I taught them how to rake. Now, I do have a gentleman that comes and does my gardens, but on the holidays, he's off as well, and I'm one of those guys, I need my lawn cut and raked and swept. I need to live in some sort of order. I can't have this unordered story. That's why I cut my hair like this, because when the wind blows, it keeps order. Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, that's the truth. And so I taught them how to rake the grass behind me. Now, the first few times, thank you, my sweethearts. Love you. Off you go watch TV or whatever. And then I'd rake again. Okay? Because it takes a while to catch on. It takes a while to learn the skill of that good work. One, I cannot judge them. I cannot judge you. You can't judge me. Give me some time. But that amount of time is not a year for you to learn how to rake. Learn quickly. Huh? And if we are willing with the right attitude, we learn quickly. We get the job done. Now, one of the young men that I was involved with the church for many years, he came and he wanted to serve and he said, I'm going to rake your grass. He raked it better than me. I did a good job. I taught him, but he was willing to learn and to do it better. To do it better. The fourth thing, turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. I'll be done now. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 and 22. This is the meaty stuff. In everything we do, we have to believe. Believing, get this, believing has no limits. There are no limits to you and I if we believe. There are no limits to us if we believe. Verse 21, Jesus answered and said to them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and not doubt, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree. Remember they walked past the fig tree, had no fruit, cursed the thing, came back the next day, it was dead. But also, if you shall say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer. Rob Rufus preached a sermon once on the word all. Let me give you the definition of the word all. All includes everything and excludes nothing. That's what that says. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, if I'm his workmanship, if I'm this individual created, designed, fashioned by him, and that's what he says to me, all things, Gary, all things, all things, all things, if you believe, they'll be yours. I'm talking salvation now. The first step is, I need to believe that that's true. I've got to believe that he means it about me. When Jesus speaks about the disciples, I did ask two or so people if I could pick on them. They said, yes, you may. So I'm going to pick on them. Let me say this to you. It's pointless believing. This is important. It's pointless believing if you're not prepared to put an effort. And it's pointless putting an effort if you're not believing. Paul says, when you've done all, stand. That's the believing stand. When you've done all is effort. All is effort. It's good works. It's something I'm going to have to do. I might get tired. I might get bored. That happens. I might get bored doing the same thing over and over again, but that's the good work. That's the effort I'm needing to put in. So it's pointless believing if you're not going to put an effort. It's pointless putting an effort if you're not going to believe. Let's read that scripture again as if you and I were with him. So Jesus turned to Douglas, Billy, and said, Dougie, my boy, Billy, come here. I want to say this to you, son. I want you to hear me loud and clear now. If you have faith, Billy, you're not listening. Doug, come closer. Douglas, if you have faith. See, we're all disciples. Louise, if you have faith and you do not doubt, you'll also be able to curse the fig tree and see it die. We're all disciples. He just chose us to be at this time as a disciple and not at the time of him when he was walking the earth. We're all disciples. So that applies to you and to me. Put your name there. But also, Billy, and Doug's now come closer, so he's starting to hear. So he calls Doug his son. Doug, my son. But also, I'm saying to you that if you till that mountain of sickness, that mountain of disease, that mountain of poverty, that mountain, my car is dead, I need a new car, that mountain of I'm unemployed, that mountain of a bond that needs to be bust, that mountain of I don't sleep at night because I'm worrying about issues. Those mountains, if you speak to those mountains and tell it to be removed and go into the sea, tell it to get lost. If you do that, Billy, if you do that, Doug, and you believe, it will be done. What time frame did he indicate? He says time frame there. What time frame did he indicate? If you believe. When that mountain's gone, you believe it. If that mountain hasn't been removed yet, keep believing. That's the effort now. Greg Haswell preached that a little while ago, those seven strange things about prayer. He'd been praying for things for 20 years still. Don't give up. Don't give up. We were fashioned, created, we his workmanship, designed by him to accomplish salvation for ourselves on this earth now. Too many say, I can't wait to get to heaven. Then all of this will be done. This is the journey he's chosen for us. This is the journey, the opportunity he's given us. For good works and his good pleasure. For good works and his good pleasure. The only thing that limits God and what he can do through us is our belief system. We have a system. It's a belief system. And that will limit you and I. Our belief system. However, we've got to change our belief system. And there's a simple remedy the Bible gives us. It's called metanoia. Change the way you think. How do you do that? Worship. Enjoy your worship. Worship because He's a good Father. Read the Word. Because the Word goes in, and this is a really good spirit. But this year, it's a battle. This year, the mind, it's unbelievably strong. Why is it that you think you got the faith and you can make it happen, but your mind holds you back? It's almost like the mind is more powerful than the faith in that spirit of mind. I've got to get this daily, daily renewed, daily impacted. It's like the Word's got to slam into that brain of mine every single day, over and over again, until I start thinking, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. If I believe, mountain, be removed in the name of Jesus. That is my inheritance. That is my salvation. Be removed. I want to read this quickly to you and then we're done. The good news is this, Jerry Savelle, friend of my dad's, haven't met him yet, meet him one day. Good news. God has already given you the ability to control your future and destiny. God has given that to you now. If you've made Jesus Lord, there's a little challenge. I'm saved, but is He Lord yet? Of every area? If you've made Jesus Lord of your life, then you live, then your life is not a hit and a miss experience. You have been granted access to the things you desire through your ability to believe God. You tap into limitless miracle power of God by simply having faith. It's not what we're doing. It's already been done. He's done it all. But we've got to action it here on earth. In our lives. My time. I want to see abundance in my time. Not in heaven. Good Lord, why would I need it then? I don't need it then. It's free anyway. I want abundance now. I want a holiday when I want to holiday. I want to bust a bond when I want to bust a bond. If I don't have a bond, who else has a bond? Can I bust it with you? Come on. Salvation is everything that we need here on earth. There's a small part that gets us to heaven, but that's incredibly important. But let's live here on earth in salvation. Three things. This is crazy interesting, and you identify with this. The natural mind will come up with lots of reasons why it cannot happen. You're thinking about your bond now, but your mind's telling you, it can't happen, bro. You've got a job. You get so much a month. You're able to do this. You can't even save each month. How on earth are you going to bust your bond? I don't know, but I do know this. Where is workmanship? Crafted, fashioned, and designed. And if we believe, nothing is impossible to us. If we believe. Second thing your mind says. The natural mind will explain precisely why it won't work. I'm going to go and speak to my bank. No, it won't work. The first thing. I mean, you haven't even got the words out. You know anything? It won't work. Huh? Third thing, this blew me. The natural mind will block the supernatural and limit you. Three things. It will limit you to the probable. This is probably going to happen. My luck. I give 1,000 rand at the bond. My luck, I'll get retrenched next tomorrow. The probable. The logical. It makes no sense when you have nothing still to give. And the rational. God doesn't make sense. He's not supposed to. He's God. And we take our minds and we try and package our Father, who is good. We try and package Him so we can just understand, well, when you said this, what do you really mean? Or what I've said. No tricks. Nothing hidden. If you want to say to that mountain, and you believe, it will move. I want to say this to you. We are limitless people. We are limitless. This is like hidden. We are limitless. We cannot be contained. We cannot be contained if we believe. You know what? Busting the bond of this house is wonderful. But I would like to say this to us. Let's not just bust our house's bond. If we believe we are limitless, let's get ourselves into a place where we can bust everybody's bond in the house. Imagine if the word gets out there on the news and says, you join this church, you have no bond. How quickly will we fill the house? It's a fact. We can. But we get wrapped up in ourselves, and let's get our bond sorted out. And then the additional, we need a holiday, and no, but we also need saving. And so our minds start saying, it's probably not going to happen. There's no rationale in me breaking somebody else's bond at all. Just made them wealthy and me poorer. Please. Let's take the next step. We're breaking our bond. We're getting the bonds in this house destroyed. Let's get that done. The sooner we get that done, the sooner we can focus on the rest of our bonds. And that I'm not joking about. Because we are limitless. We are not limited by anything if we believe. Let us pray for a moment. So you sitting here, you standing here at this moment, and you want to tap in. You want to tap in to the salvation. You want to tap in to being limitless. Well, the first thing I want to say to you is you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and you were excited, you like what you heard, but I want to say to you, if you have not yet received Jesus as your Savior, you need to. Because that's the start of your salvation. That was the start of my salvation. Back in 1979, I bowed my knee before the Lord and I said, I receive you into my life. Is there anybody here today that would like to receive Jesus as their Savior? Put your hand up right now. Would you come here, please, my dear? I'd love to pray with you. Please give this lady a hand. Anybody else, please. Is there somebody else that wants to receive Jesus as their Savior? Is there another? Gentleman at the back, would you come? Where's that gentleman? Come, please, sir. Come. Fantastic. So that's step one. We're going to pray. Is there anybody else, by the way? Here's your opportunity. Please, man. Really, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, I'm asking you, please come. Come and give your life to Jesus so that you can start this journey of salvation that we've been talking about. Okay. We'll pray right now. The second group of people we want to pray for, we're going to pray for you as well concerning this matter. Second group, oh, wonderful. Gather another lady. Come. Wonderful. Come. Come stand here. Fantastic. 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 Okay. And And there's a second group of people we're going to pray for, including ourselves here. We're going to pray for those of us that want the second part of salvation as well. We want our bonds broken. We want our release. The prophetic word was very strong this morning. We want those released. Then you stand up too. You stand right where you are right now. I'm going to pray for you as well. So if you are wanting that release that you need, that breakthrough, you want the opportunity, you want the ability to believe, I gave you some points. You've got to get your mind renewed, refreshed, revived. You've got to start speaking so that your natural mind is beat. You've got to start believing that God will get you freedom. Somebody said to me, a friend of mine in Joburg, said, Gary, what number have you got? I said, what do you mean, what number? He said, what number brings you freedom? What number brings you freedom? I tell you what, if I believe, I don't need a number. But if I believe, God will bring me freedom. Release. Okay. So we're going to pray now. Bill, can I ask you just to come? Dave and Louise, if we can come and just pray with these friends of ours here. And let's ask God to bring salvation there to them right now. Hallelujah. Okay, I want you just to pray this prayer with me. Lord, in the name of Jesus, everybody, let's all of us just pray that. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come to you right now and I invite you into my life. Become my Savior. Become my Lord. I have decided today to make you my Savior and Lord. I thank you right now that you receive me as your child. I am now saved. I am now a Christian. I now call you my Father, Abba Father. I receive you into my life right now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, these guys with you, they're going to just talk to you for a few moments. And then for all of us right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, we stand here. We thank you for your word. Your word is quick. It's sharper. It's more powerful than any two-edged sword. And when I speak your word, things have to happen. Mountains have to move. Healing has to come. Salvation is mine. Father, we stand here today in the name of Jesus and we say, help our unbelief. Help us to believe. We want our bonds busted. We want the bond of this house busted. We want our own personal bonds busted. We don't just want our needs met. We want blessing and abundance and blessing and abundance. That's what you've given us. Help us to believe. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, Gary. Thank you so much. Just give the Lord a praise this morning. Come on. All right, church. Don't forget we're taking up an offering for Zama and Leander who were robbed this morning. And then Good Friday, we're having a service at 9 a.m., okay? So this Good Friday, it's this coming Friday at 9 a.m., and then Easter Sunday again at 9 a.m. So join us, and God bless. Have a great Sunday. And if you are visiting with us, we're having...